Welcome to the December 2022 episode of Gloucester's Current Conversations podcast. I'm Quentin Shepherd with Gloucester's Community Engagement and Public Information Department. Today, we've got a special guest that we're going to introduce to the program. Steve Wright is our Deputy County Administrator. Steve's been with us since September, but has hit the ground running and has spearheaded a lot of different initiatives to help the community. One of these big initiatives that we're going to be talking about today is a public forum that's coming up on December 12th, where we're going to be discussing opioid addiction services and how we can improve and enhance these services to our residents. Steve, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Quentin. I'm happy to be here.
Maybe start out by telling the community a little bit about yourself, about your background, and how you came to Gloucester.
Sure. I've been in government service for about almost 20 years now. And most recently, I was with the Department of Health and Human Services in Montgomery County, Maryland. And I came to Gloucester because this was a really exciting position, an opportunity to be involved in a lot of different initiatives, kind of collectively that I've been involved in different organizations throughout the years, and definitely this opportunity with the opioid settlement funds is something that's absolutely near and dear to my heart. It connects very heavily to my social and human service background, and I look forward to using these funds to help improve services to the community.
Thank you, and we're grateful that you're here. As Steve mentioned just a minute ago, Gloucester is slated to receive an estimated total of around $680,000, which will be distributed annually to the county through the state's opioid abatement fund. Tell us, Steve, a little bit about how this money came to be and how it was decided that it would be kind of handed down to the localities to use as they see fit.
Sure, absolutely. And I just to give you a little bit of background on this, I believe the initial opioid suits, the class action suits, started in 2010. So this has been going on for a long time, and it's been litigated through the court extensively. And then finally, the first settlement with Johnson & Johnson as the producer of the opioids, and then three of their major distributors, they issued a settlement for roughly $28 billion, which, of course, all the states in the country were parties to that. So each of the states is going to be allocated a certain portion of the total money. Virginia is getting about just over $500 million. The $680,000 that we're going to get over roughly 18 years is our portion of that $500 million. So those will be the funds we'll have access to. There are two other settlements as well, one with Purdue and one with Walmart, that's currently going through the court. So that could potentially be another $200 million that's given to Virginia that would then be allocated to the counties and cities as well.
And Steve, there's some caveats to how this funding can be used. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. As part of the settlement, the national settlement, they devised a list of programming or services or treatments that this money can be used for. It's rather extensive. It's called Exhibit E because it's Exhibit E to the national settlement, but it's roughly 16 pages of different programs. There are some major themes that are in that, though, in that 16 pages of potential programming. Prevention programming is one of the big ones. Providing services to pregnant women and postpartum women, because that's a huge segment of the population that's negatively impacted by the opioid crisis. Things for dealing with overdoses, like naloxone, and training for first responders, things like that. But then also your typical treatments that you think of, addiction treatment, mental health treatment as well. So there's a lot of different programs that fall underneath those categories, but those are the principal ones that they want us to gear these funds for.
And just to give a little bit of perspective about the opioid, and we'll go ahead and call it a crisis because it is a crisis, even in this community, according to Gloucester Sheriff Daryl Warren. Gloucester has had 20 opioid overdose deaths in the past 2 years, and that's pretty telling. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think one of these deaths is way too many. So we definitely want to try to address the problem as a locality. And the first step in doing this is to receive public input. Mm-hmm. So tell us, Steve, a little bit about this forum that's coming up on Monday, December 12th, kind of who you're hoping to participate in the forum and what you'd like to get out of that forum.
Absolutely. And just to back up briefly, one of the things we did initially was meet with our stakeholders, which, you know, it's law enforcement, mental health providers, addiction service providers, just to get a lay of the land, to figure out, you know, how extensive the problem is, what kind of programming is already in place to address this, and then the types of individuals we should pull into a public forum. So based on that, and some of the charge we've gotten from the state as well, we really want to hear from anyone who's been impacted by the opioid crisis. That could be, you know, individuals who are in recovery or currently in treatment and doing well, families who have dealt with this, either had a family member go through it or, you know, worst case scenario, actually had a death within their family because of opioid addiction, you know, providers who have a good sense of what works and what doesn't, and then educators who also kind of more peripherally deal with people who are dealing with addiction. So really, it's open to anyone, quite frankly, who has experience dealing with the opioid crisis directly, or who can help us better understand how we can deal with it more effectively.
Great. And that forum is going to be held from 6:30 to 8 p.m. again on Monday, December 12th at the Gloucester Main Library Community Room. We're asking that people do RSVP if they're going to come to the event. Of course, if you don't RSVP and you decide that you want to come, we still encourage you to participate. But we're going to put the link to RSVP in the description of this podcast. Also, there's a way for you to add your input, even if you cannot show up to the December 12th meeting in person. Steve, tell us a little bit about the community survey that we've got going and how people can participate that way.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a really good community engagement platform that we use. And basically, it allows people, as Quentin indicated, who couldn't be there for the forum to provide their feedback. And there's a number of questions. It should take on no more than 7 to 10 minutes to complete. But there's a number of questions that are also going to be asked at the forum that are intended to get people's experiences and to understand their stories with this. So it's a really easy way to provide feedback if you're not able to attend in person. And it'll ask, again, the same questions that we're looking at with the people who will attend.
And again, the link to that survey will be in the description of the podcast. So, Steve, what's the timeline kind of look like from here? So we're going to have this meeting where people can provide input, and then what are the next steps after that?
Yeah, great question. So after we do the public forum, obviously, we're going to be close to the holiday season, so we won't be doing too much at the end of December. But in mid-January, we're going to bring the stakeholders back together, talk to them about what we saw at the forum, the kind of stories we heard, the recommendations we received, and then figure out collectively what would be the best way to move forward in terms of programming that we desire to fund. And obviously, we as the county do not provide addiction services directly. So we're looking to collaborate and partner with existing providers in the community, either to enhance programming or to expand access to programming that already exists, and then go from there. But we're looking at meeting with the stakeholders again in mid-January, making some decisions by the end of that or early February. And then, of course, we have to present this to our Board of Supervisors for ultimate approval regarding how we spend the funding.
Sure. And the county will definitely keep residents informed about the process as it moves forward. And that information will continue to be found on the county's website and also posted on social media. Steve, anything else about this topic that you'd like to add?
No, just another plea for people who have had experience with this or been impacted by the opioid crisis to please, whether it's in person or via our online survey, share your stories with us because they really will make a difference in terms of how we use these funds.
Great. And just to recap, again, the forum is Monday, December 12th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Gloucester Main Library Community Room. If you cannot make it, you're still able to provide input and welcome to provide input through the survey link that we're going to put in the description of this podcast. Steve, we can't thank you enough for being with us today on such an important topic that I think hits each one in a different way in this community. So thank you, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon.
All right. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.